Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Will Israel strike back at Iraq for overnight strikes by seven Iraqi Scud missiles and perhaps ignite a wider Mideast war? That's a vital question this morning, one which could affect the course of Operation Desert Storm. Moscow has condemned the Iraqi attack, and a Soviet diplomat in Turkey says the Soviet Union will push a plan at the UN to stop the war. Baghdad Radio claims Israel has already bombed Iraq, but there's no confirmation of any such attack. Israel's entry into the conflict with Iraq is exactly what Saddam Hussein wants because of its potential to crack the multinational alliance. As Wyatt Andrews reports, that's a major concern today at the White House.
The administration last night, after condemning the Iraqi attacks, scurried to convince Israel that American and allied planes could answer the military threat posed by Scud missiles. Secretary of State Baker, in the late night hours, called Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir with assurances coalition forces were already targeting Scud missile sites, presumably those believed to be the source of the attacks. White House spokesman Marlon Fitzwater, in a statement, said the U.S. is continuing its effort to eliminate this threat. While trying to convince Israel not to respond, how it might respond, should it choose, is also an issue. The key Arab partners in the Allied coalition said or hinted before the war they would understand a commensurate, measured Israeli response against the source of attacks, but the situation gets far more complicated should Israel attack Baghdad or choose to overfly Jordan during its mission and risk a new confrontation there. Wyatt Andrews, CBS News, the White House.
And Jordan is on high alert, as we hear from Doug Tinnell.
Jordan's parliament speaker has called for an emergency meeting of parliament later today. The events of the last 12 hours, the Iraqi missile attack on Israel, have pushed this tiny kingdom ever closer to the nightmare scenario, to being drawn into a war against its will. The prospect of Israel using Jordanian airspace as a corridor to Iraq has Jordanians feeling more vulnerable than ever and more fearful that events could still run out of anyone's control. King Hussein's top priority is just to stay out of war, he says. As a pilot, the king has an intimate understanding of just how quickly attacking Israeli jets could see his kingdom as little more than the shortest distance between two points on the map, between Iraq and Israel. One message in mosques around Jordan today was that people here are not about to tolerate Israel's use of Jordanian airspace. There are calls here for support for Iraq and appeals for Jordanians to stand behind their own army at this time of tension. Doug Tinnell, CBS News, Amman.
In Tel Aviv, correspondent Bill McLaughlin reports the U.S. might assist Israel in targeting Iraq's mobile missiles.
They have to wait and see whether or not Baghdad tries to hit Israel again tonight. The expectation is that it will. If it does, at that moment, AWACS and the spy satellites will be able to pinpoint the location of the mobile missile launchers, get that information to the Israeli Air Force, and I think then the Israeli Air Force will respond, and will respond massively but selectively at those military targets. There will be, I do not think there will be Israeli retaliation on civilian population centers in Iraq. That's not what Israel wants. It's not what the United States wants.
General Norman Schwarzkopf, the Desert Storm commander, said this morning U.S. warplanes had found a group of Iraqi mobile Scud missile launchers and destroyed at least six of them. He downplayed the military significance of the attack on Israel.
Missiles that were fired against Israel, I would characterize as having yielded absolutely insignificant results. And as a result, I think to date we can say that the enemy Scud campaign has been ineffective.
One Scud fired toward Dhahran, Saudi Arabia, was knocked out overnight by a U.S. Patriot missile, which passed its first combat test. Several Israelis were slightly injured in the Scud missile strikes, which touched off what proved to be an unfounded nerve gas scare. A three-year-old Arab girl and four elderly Israeli women either suffocated or had heart attacks while wearing masks. In Riyadh today, General Schwarzkopf said the U.S. air campaign continues to hammer targets in Iraq and Kuwait despite bad weather. He reported Allied aircraft losses have risen to seven. Baghdad puts the number at 77. Lieutenant General Chuck Horner, commander of the air campaign, said at least eight Iraqi jets have been shot down. Today, the first U.S. strikes were flown from Turkey. In all, a dozen Allied airmen are missing. Five of them are Americans. One of the few Western journalists still in Baghdad is newsman John Simpson, who this morning filed what he said was probably the last uncensored report from Iraq.
The presidential palace was hit during the night, but President Saddam Hussein seems to have survived. The Soviet ambassador is reported to have seen him in the bunker. We can see many other buildings badly hit around us. The Ba'ath Party headquarters, for instance, and the satellite dishes are hanging loosely from the telecommunications tower on the horizon.
CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi is back in Amman, Jordan now after a perilous overland journey from Baghdad. Along the way, he was a ground-level observer of the massive U.S. air campaign.
Airstrikes hammered an Iraqi Air Force base 75 miles from the Jordanian border last night. The Al-Walid camp fought back with a seemingly endless stream of anti-aircraft fire. The inky black moonless desert sky was a kaleidoscope of red tracer bullets, silver bursts of flak, and the orange flashes of explosions in the air. The horizon was lit with massive flashes of white light, which were followed by the deep booming sound of high explosives pounding the ground. Dozens of cars that had been lined up to buy gas at a small station in the nearby town of Rutba scattered, their lights off, to get away from the pumps when the raid came. The air attack itself seemed to last about half an hour, but the anti-aircraft fire kept up for twice that time before the all-clear sounded. Significantly, there had been no warning siren when the attack came. Then, a short time later, there was another strike. This time, knowledgeable local sources said, on a phosphorus plant. The Iraqi air defense response seemed completely out of control. The sky was lit in every direction by anti-aircraft fire. A huge orange and red fireball welled into the sky. Bright flashes lit the horizon like distant lightning. Being on the ground was dangerous. Shrapnel from spent anti-aircraft rounds spattered on the main highway, where the few of us, foolish or unlucky enough to be traveling, stopped with lights out to wait it out while the skies erupted all around and all over us. Then the attackers came back this morning. At 10:20 local time, black smoke began rising from what Iraqi said was H3, a site described as an oil pipeline pumping station 30 miles from the Iraqi-Jordanian frontier. The border point itself was remarkably unchaotic. Only a few dozen cars and buses were there heading for Jordan, and a few trucks and buses were going into Iraq. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, Amman.
A spokesman at the U.S. Embassy in Indonesia says a package containing a bomb was found today at the home of the U.S. ambassador. Because the country is predominantly Muslim, the incident is assumed to be linked to the Gulf War. The bomb was removed and detonated without harm. U.S. diplomats in China are also on alert. Iraqi students there have reportedly been told by the Iraqi military attaché to target Americans. After closing below $20 a barrel yesterday, the price of oil rose about 50 cents today. But former Saudi oil minister Sheikh Yamani predicts a further sharp fall.
If I take into consideration the huge stock available right now and the drop in consumption, I think $12 might be the price until OPEC and the other producers can do something about it.
Overseas, the dollar is down, London gold is up 350, and on Wall Street, the Dow is ahead 4.5. It's 7:10.
CBS News Update, I'm Ed Crane. A massive cloud cover and Iraq's apparent ability to move some targets have combined for a frustrating day for many of the Allied bomber squadrons. They've returned to their bases in Saudi Arabia with full bombing loads, unable to find their targets or even see them in some cases. Other members of the Allied force were more successful, as we hear from Jim Stewart at the Pentagon.
As to the targets, they were told that there is a heavy concentration on the elite Republican Guard. While they were hit on day one by B-52s, beginning at 7 p.m. last night, we're told, and throughout much of today, the Republican Guard are taking a heavy hit, we're told, especially their corps and division headquarters, where masses of antennas give away the position of command sites.
The Republican Guard said to be Saddam Hussein's best trained and most valuable troops. The number of Allied warplanes lost now tallies 7, including 2 more U.S. planes down today, an Air Force F-15 and a Navy A-6. 4 crew members are designated as missing. There's something else for Saddam Hussein to worry about. 24 hours after Turkey okayed use of its bases for Allied strikes against Iraq, more than 24 U.S. planes reportedly began flying bombing and reconnaissance missions from that north flank. Correspondent Alan Pizzi, who was unable to transmit much of what he saw when the bombs first fell in Baghdad, has since made his way to Amman, Jordan.
All the way out of Baghdad, we ran into no military checkpoints. There were a lot of buses with soldiers crammed into them. I saw one that must have had 25 soldiers on the roof, never mind how many were inside, all trying to get to wherever they're supposed to report to. They're calling up more men. Just before we left the hotel, the Minister of Information man who'd been our minder, as it were, the man who guided us around for all the months we've been covering that story, came with a very sad look on his face and just said, "I'm come to say goodbye. It's 1956. And what he meant was that young men born in 1956 had that day been called up, which means they're calling up the older reserves as they go along.
There's said to be a shortage of water and electrical power now in Baghdad. It's evening in Israel, and still no official word as to whether the Israeli government will retaliate for this morning's Iraqi missile attacks, which left 12 people hurt along the Israeli coast. CBS News Update. I'm Ed Crane, CBS News, New York. The Allied air forces may have opened up another front in the war against Iraq. 27 U.S. warplanes reportedly took off from Incirlik, Turkey today for the first bombing raid on Iraq from its northern flank. This follows a vote by the Turkish parliament to grant the government more war powers, including permission for the United States to use bases in Turkey for strikes against Iraq.
The top commanders of Operation Desert Storm say 2,000 sorties a day are being flown into Iraq and Kuwait, still with minimal resistance from Iraqi forces. Correspondent Jim Stewart at the Pentagon says Iraq's ability to respond may have been impaired by the Iraqi president himself.
When Saddam Hussein recently reorganized his military, and you may recall that he just changed his chief of staff only several weeks ago, that he may have in fact impeded himself and the entire Iraqi army's ability to respond now that they're in the midst of a crisis. That in fact he may have taken upon himself so much responsibility to make these decisions, and now that the Allied Air Forces have knocked out much of his communications and electrical grids, he simply can't give the orders.
Newsman John Holland, who until recently was in Baghdad, says the Allied air raids really took the Iraqis by surprise.
There's kind of a mixed mood among the people. They were stunned by the speed with which U.S. planes moved into Baghdad and the positions around Iraq. After the first 24 hours, they seem to have recovered their senses and their anger, and are now pointing the finger at Israel, saying that Israel has instigated much of what we have witnessed the last several days in Iraq. There is a mood of vengeance. It isn't that strong yet. I think people are still getting used to these raids coming not only in the nighttime as we thought, but also all through the day.
U.S. military officials say Iraq's missile launchers are prime targets right now. They were used last night to launch Scud missiles against Israel. So far, no announcement on whether Israel will retaliate. The financial markets, after yesterday's big gains, seem to be wary today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down a point right now at 26.22.5. Volume on the big board and active 47 million shares. CBS News Update. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News, New York.